CD player unhappy with Susie Arioli.
Uh-huh.
Not to worry, as I say, the Ready Joy Center tonight, tomorrow. And this is from their CD Learn to Smile Again, Susie Arioli. Now, this case featuring Jordan Officer, because she says, making this record made a lot to us in the years since we first fell in love with Roger Miller, because they're all Roger Miller songs, or most of them anyways, the idea of covering some of his material began to develop slowly in the back of our minds. And so they did. So that was a Roger Miller song. I know. Wow. I know what you're thinking. That's not the Roger Miller I knew.
No.
He did so much more. It's 7 o'clock. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
We are the Saturday Morning Show. We're here for you for another hour until 8, and then it's Green Planet Monitor.
Right.
Carol, give us the new weather in just a minute.
Yep.
A reminder of the Santa Claus Parade. 5 o'clock today. You might want to avoid downtown. Now, I see on this day, in 1966, Greatest Hits album by The Temptations released. It was Billboard Album of the Year. Which is interesting because there was a piece in the Free Press just a while back, November the 5th. Greatest Hits album, once king, loses steam in the streaming age.
Oh.
As you can imagine, looking at the roster of top-selling records, you could easily think Greatest Hits albums are doing better than ever. That's a first glance. 24 have made it into the music industry list. However, in reality, the cultural and economic might of collections like the Eagles, Greatest Hits, etc., has declined dramatically in recent years. Purchases have tumbled as streaming replaced CDs and digital purchases become the primary way people consume music. I don't care. Temptations. I bet you this was on their Greatest Hits. Say the the music industry's peak, 94 to 2000, compilations could sell millions of copies. Garth Brooks sold 5.49 million copies of 1994's The Hits. But at least today, when they're reissued, it gives you a boost maybe for other efforts, such as a book, biopic, a new single or tour. Sony Music, for example, released a greatest hits collection of sorts, Evergreens, celebrating six decades on Columbia Records, featuring Barbra Streisand's favorite songs, leading up to her memoir, released in 2023. 7:05, and do we have another jumble?
Sure, certainly.
I meant to have more coffee, but
just too bad
for you. All part of the service.
Okay. NBDLE. Oh, this bad radio again.
All right, that's all we get for today then.
Okay, NBDLE. No.
Blend.
Yes.
Yeah, coffee. Right, proper blend. I didn't have the proper blend, obviously. At 7:06.
Yes.
Because I was queuing up Mr. W.C. Handy here.
Yes.
I want to be your handyman. Yeah. On this day, W.C. Handy born, 18th century American composer, musician, father of the blues, died 1958. Here he is in conversation, actually, just a little bit, and then we'll hear some music as well. George Avakin interview with W.C. Handy.
I like naturalness, you know what I mean? That's the thing I liked about Louis. If he likes a thing, he's just going to put himself into it.
Mm-hmm. What was your first encounter with Louis?
I heard him when he used to run on the steamboat from New Orleans to St. Louis.
That would probably be the SS Capital, I suppose.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's when the blues were new. There's always some motivating force that directs my attention to composing some particular number. And one day at noon, I heard a minister speaking to a crowd on Broadway, and he was chiding them for adulterating goods and merchandise and food. And they're adulterating everything. When I said they're adulterating love, even. Mm-hmm. Because I'd want to write this little thing that Louis did, Careless Love, as we used to play that down in Alabama.
Yes, indeed.
I went back to the office, caught a train to Chicago, where Louis played with the Erskine Tate's orchestra.
It was the Vendome Theater.
Vendome. Mm-hmm. And I sat down and wrote Loveless Love and used the terms that people were using then in the days of milkless milk and silkless silk. Orchestrated it and carried it into Tate. Tate played it. And I sent it off and had it printed and printed these words, the loveless love that Louis sang. Well, that's why I did Loveless Love and Aunt Hagar's Blues. And Louis used to draw large crowds every night singing just whatever number that he wanted to sing. Mm-hmm. But I had some very pleasant experiences with him in Chicago at the Vendome Theater. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that at that time the public realized what a great artist Louis was?
They came that year, him play and sing. Mm-hmm. They realized that it was something different. Mm-hmm. But they went to hear Louis sing, and I don't mind telling you, there was something in that voice that they appreciated, the pride of race. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the feeling about Louis in the Vendome Theater when I went there so much.
The voice of W.C. Handy talking about Louis singing Loveless Love.
Thank you. love, it's messy. You set your heart on goalless goals, real messy, with dreamless dreams and schemeless schemes. We wreck our love boats on the shore. Oh, love, la-ba-doodle-doodle-o-love, I'm frantic. You broke my heart a million ways. You left me alone and wrecked my home. It's love, L-O-V-E,
sing it, baby, sing it, baby. Oh, love, oh, love, oh, loveless love. Has set our hearts on goalless goals. From milkless milk and silkless silk, we are growing used to soulless soul. Such grafting times we never saw.
Pops.
And that's why we have a pure food law. How did food get in here? And everything we find is a flaw. Even love,
love, love, love.
Friends, from the CD Louis Armstrong Plays, W.C. Handy, Velma Middleton on vocals there as well, trombone, Trummy Young, Waylon Oweda. At 7:14, and I'm looking at the Winnipeg Free Press, experience the magic of the Royal Winnipeg Ballet's Nutcracker, running from December 20th to 28th. Of course, there are many different kinds of nutcrackers, as you know.
Yes.
Staged at the Centennial Concert Hall, this year's performance promised to dazzle. I should hope so. Combination of timeless choreography, opulent sets. I'll repeat that. Opulent sets.
It is a nutcracker after all.
Because we were talking to somebody the other day about, you know, some Wagner can be set in a bare stage with three slabs upright. Tickets available.
Well, we saw Mozart that had just three slabs like that.
There you go. So the promise is you've got to have for the Nutcracker. December 20th to 28th, tickets available now at rwb.org.
Thank you. was snowing on Christmas Eve, the most magical night of the year. Big flakes fell, swirling and glittering like dancers in crystal costumes. Marie and her brother Fritz were so excited about tonight's party that Mama and Papa Stahlbaum made them wait in the entrance parlor so as not to disturb the preparations underway in the living room. Marie pulled a chair in front of the door and waited for the moment when they would be welcomed back. They sat there for so long, trying to be good, that they finally became drowsy and fell asleep. Suddenly, Marie awoke. The guests would be arriving any minute. She peeked through the keyhole. Her father was putting the final touches on the tree. Marie shook Fritz to awaken him. He quickly jumped up, shoving Marie out of the way. The two of them were pushing and twisting and pulling at each other for another glimpse when suddenly Papa appeared behind them. For Fritz and Marie, just as they were about to be scolded, the first of the guests arrived. Fritz rushed to greet his friends. How dashing the men look, Marie thought, like cavaliers, and how elegantly the women are dressed in their flowing capes and gowns. Marie's friends twirled out of their coats as they too showed off their splendid holiday dresses. Marie invited the girls to have a tea party while the boys played leapfrog. Dancing on the new fallen snow, and candles scattered yellow diamonds of light everywhere. The children stood in silence. In front of them was the vast tree with its bounty of presents. Jumping as high as they could, reaching out as if to hug the tree, while the smallest children were picked up and held overhead by their parents. With a clap of Papa's hands, the gas lights were turned on and the room filled with a warm golden glow. Papa called the children into a circle at the foot of the tree, and the games began. Marie had been looking forward to this for a whole year. There would be presents and dances and unexpected treats, especially when Godpapa Drosselmeyer arrived. Meanwhile, Mama gathered the girls together and urged them to ask the boys to dance. The boys knelt as the girls went spinning around the room. Then all the fathers came out and danced with their daughters. Everyone promenaded in a long line, swooping under the arched hands held high overhead.
CD called, wait for it, The Nutcracker, told by Kevin Klein.
I know it's a little early, but you probably have to get your tickets now.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Or you can go, as I did, to Into the Music there and got that CD for a dollar.
Yep. Well.
Yep. Royal Winnipeg Ballet's Nutcracker then, December 20th to the 28th. Tickets available at rwb.org.
Okay.
A little smile on their little faces.
And can I say, not that Kevin Klein, the other Kevin
Klein. Kevin Klein, Klein, that's right, yes.
Yep.
7/21.
Yep.
Say, today is the 16th.
Yes, it
Try
is.
Trying to think of Raymond Land's movie. Yeah, he has the nightmares. Yeah. Anyways, today at McNally Robinson Booksellers, Greg Schiller Day and Dale Cummings.
Oh,
now, my memory of Dale Cummings is he had illustrator, and so I guess he is the illustrator for this book.
Cool.
Greg Schiller Day, long-term publisher here, launch of The Lush Life, a not-so-sober second look.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to go and see.
McNally book Robinson. Lushes?
Out at Grant Park.
Okay.
Because not every event that happens at McNally Robinson is in the store, just occurred
That's
to me,
true.
Right?
Right.
Plus, of course, this is a note about the classrooms here, as I picked up the other day. And it says, the McNallyRobinson.com/classes coming soon. Well, they're there now.
Right.
Most of them, if not all. For example, the Mystery Book Club starting in February.
Yes.
Is listed there. Sign up now.
Okay.
No, you don't get tattooed. It's the tattoo is extra if you want to. February the 20th, I think it is, Thursdays, 1:30 to 3. We're starting with the new Robert Osman book.
Oh.
He's starting a new series.
Okay.
The man who did the Thursday Murder Club.
Yes.
Which has been turned into
fun.
A
just
little
silly fun.
Series,
yep.
Yes. So that's today. They don't show a time. So you'll have to go, I guess, online for more details on that. There's so many here. I guess they didn't. I don't like to say it's in the classroom, so it's more likely out in the atrium there at Satch's where they do the big lunches.
This talk with Greg Schiller-Day
and Dale Cummings.
Yeah, yeah. It's either it's in one of the areas or in the cafe.
Now, I see Ella Louise Jenkins has died at the age of 100. American singer-songwriter, died November the 9th. Yeah, she was a centenarian, all right, called First Lady, the children's folk song. 1995 album, Multicultural Children's Songs, been the most popular Smithsonian Folkways release. Lots of TV, 2004 Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. What we have is Ella and Friends, Ella Jenkins, and a union, underlined, of friends pulling together.
Hmm.
So let's have a little family reunion here, recitation and song.
Okay.
My brother Tom went to our family reunion in Cincinnati, Ohio. He saw our cousins by the dozens, and he saw many of our aunts and uncles, too. There was talking and laughter and idle chatter. There were games and dancing and singing of songs, like Skip to My Lou.
Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip to my Lou, my darling. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip to my Lou, my darling.
Lost my partner, what shall I do?
Lost my partner, what shall I do? Lost my partner, what shall I do? Lost my partner, what shall I do? Skip to my Lou, my darling. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip to my Lou, my darling.
I'll find another one prettier than you.
I'll find another one prettier than you. I'll find another one prettier than you. I'll find another one prettier than you. Skip to my Lou, my darling. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip to my Lou, my darling.
Flies in the buttermilk, shoe, fly, shoe.
Flies in the buttermilk, shoe, fly, shoe. Flies in the buttermilk, shoe, fly, shoe. Flies in the buttermilk, shoe, fly, shoe. Skip to my Lou, my darling. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip to my Lou, my darling.
Little red wagon painted blue.
Little red wagon painted blue. Little red wagon painted blue. Little red wagon painted blue. Skip to my loo, my darling. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip to my loo, my darling. Skip,
there was telling of stories of years gone by. Some stories were so funny, you would laugh and say, my, my, my. And some stories were so sad that they could make you cry. 2 days they celebrated. 2 days they shared. Lots of memories. It was hard to say goodbye because they care. Maybe next year they will choose another city. And maybe I can go too. But in the meantime, let us keep in touch with one another. Let us phone or write. Let us keep this family together. Let us pull together as a team.
Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, fly, shoo.
Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, fly, shoo. Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, fly, shoo. Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, fly, shoo. Skip to my loo, my darling. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip to my loo, my darling.
Little red wagon painted blue.
Little red wagon painted blue. Little red wagon painted blue. Little red wagon painted blue. Skip to my loo, my darling. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip, skip, skip to my loo. Skip to my loo, my darling.
Ellen Jenkins and friends died at the age of 100. Big old bit in the New York Times goes to show you. Carol McKibben, 728, yes. And yes. With Santa Claus Parade today, let's take a look at the weather. What do you say?
Okay. I just made an error here, so I just want to try and correct it. Okay. Ugh.
Well, do you want to wait and I'll play...
No, no, that's the last thing I want to do. Okay, it's 3 degrees out there, mostly cloudy. Barometric pressure 100.9 and falling. The humidity 93%. Wind coming from the east at 13. It's going to be cloudy today because rain starting around lunchtime. Wind coming from the east at 20, but the high today is 7.
Temperature is decent, but you might want to dress appropriately for the Santa Claus parade then.
That's true, because it's in the evening and there will be rain changing to light snow overnight.
Overnight, yeah.
Wind coming from the northwest at 30, gusting to 50 overnight and a low of 0. So it's going to be a little chillier than it is now for the Santa Claus parade.
I had dug out an LP that CBC did a lot of these. It's a compilation album. Don Clark Ragtime Band, Gregory Alliston, Trombone 76. And I know Mitch Parks was on this too. And I remember Mitch Parks. He did a live concert for us out on the grass just across the street from us here in front of the University of Winnipeg. He was born in Kamsack, Saskatchewan, back in, I guess, 1917. Came to Winnipeg, 1930s. He was already mastered the trumpet, supporting his family by playing wedding, bar mitzvahs, resorts, vaudeville shows. Became one of the top musicians in Winnipeg. And he was over 70 years playing with the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra when it first started. Long career in broadcasting, first in live radio at 3 of Winnipeg's 4 stations, and then in television. I know he played the piano for Himsing, was one thing as well. 40s, he was... half a popular musical act, the Parks and Burdett Piano Duo, with Percy Burdett as a music arranger, himself as business manager. TV series as well. Well, we have a little. And Mitch actually composed this piece as well, the Olympic Rag.
Ooh, cool. Thank you.
Mitch Parks on piano there. Mitch Parks composed that as well. Olympic Rag. This is from an LP from 1976, and I see working with him on that. Banjo, Chuck Ford. Tuba, Walter Zatorski. And drum, Steve McKay. Produced in Winnipeg by Dave Bird. Recording engineer, Jay Rogers. CBC used to do a lot of these. And I do like on the back, it says, broadcast expiry unlimited. You got to like that, yes. So nobody can come and knock on our door late at night. And, yeah, 7:33, as I'm saying, Mitch Parks. As well, I mentioned the TV shows, TV series such as Cabaret, Red River Jamboree. He wrote music for the Canadian content portion of Sesame Street. Gained local fame as the pianist on CBC Television's Him Sing, a position he held for 31 years.
Wow.
Yep. Later years remained active by playing concerts for the elderly, described music as sustaining him, and told the Jewish Post in 1995, "When I play, I lose all thoughts of bad things. When anything goes wrong, I go to the piano." Died 3rd of November, 2004, buried in Sherry's Attic Cemetery. And it is 7:34. Let's have our march around the breakfast table then. I'm looking at obituaries from the Winnipeg Free Press. May 25th, 2024, for Alan Luke Dingman. Joined the military 2008. Attended Canadian Forces Recruit School of Saint-Jean, Quebec, 2008-2009. Attended the Canadian Forces School of Administration Logistics, Mobile Support Equipment Operator. Then posted to 1 Service Battalion, 1 Canadian Mechanized Brigade Group, Edmonton, from 2009 to 2014. As well for Stanley Mazur, who died March 20th, 2024. Started his work life at CNR as a bike riding messenger. 1942, joined the Army, working as a radio operator with the Toronto Scottish Regiment. And Joseph Irving Ernest Curtin, brackets Churchill, from November 17th, 2023. Came from a large family, 14 children. Worked as a miner, so began his passion for gold. Also served in the Royal Canadian Navy on a destroyer for a while. So our march around the breakfast table this morning, then, let's make it Heart of Oak. From the CD Swing Time, which is the official, I'll look at this line here, the Royal Canadian Navy Band of HMCS Chippewa. At 7:36. Say, I have a small little handout.
Yes.
From our choir.
Oh.
Trish gave this to me. Seven Ages Theatres presents A Christmas Carol, new adaptation by Patrick Barlow, Gas Station Theatre. November 29th, 7:30 p.m., November 30th, 2 p.m., and 7:30 p.m. Work those actors. December the 1st at 2 p.m., so as I say, at the Gas Station Theater. Probably get tickets there by phoning 284-9477. I wouldn't do it right now. they also have their website. Usually you can figure these out, but gsac.ca. gsac.ca. Which reminds me, it's official now. It's up on the web, and that's right. Our Christmas Carol.
Yes.
For Dalnefert Museum, which will be later in December 19th. We're doing three in a row and then one in the parlor. And we get it's up and official now because being joined by acoustic guitar player James Hickerson. Yes. We're going to get together and say, he'll probably want to play Ragtime. And I'll say, no, I don't think Dickens would like Ragtime. How about? No, we'll find a way. Richard Hurst used to, well, we're going to play Richard Hurst in a minute, and you'll hear
okay.
the musical background. Right.
Certainly.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that James Hickerson and his family usually attend every year. So it's
hardcore.
Very kind of him to volunteer. And
you know who his wife is?
Yes.
Okay. Donna Fletcher.
Donna Fletcher. Yeah.
The actress, the singer, the director.
Does she teach singing?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I think so as well.
Yes. And her parents.
And their daughter sings too and acts.
Yes. Holy yes. Holy. You've been in things with her daughter.
And her parents. Were my church group when I was a teenager.
Leaders, right?
Yep. That explains a lot, I suppose, yes. The path he chose, yes. Well, Free Press, headline, Hello, Simon, my old friend. Hello, Simon, my old friend. Mm-hmm. Garfunkel ending the silence between the pair. It was on again, off again, and hissy fits, and he said rude things back in the 90s, I think.
Good grief.
Maybe even the 80s.
Get over it.
Because when the most recent conversation, Garfunkel says, I cried when he told me how much I had hurt him. So they have buried the hatchet, fortunately, not in each other's skulls.
Oh, dear.
Shine.
So they've got a new bridge over troubled water.
Wow.
At 7:44, I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
We are the Saturday Morning Show, here for you until 8 o'clock on CKUW-FM 95.9 on your FM dial. Carol McKibben, something yes. to celebrate?
Well, if I said
yes.
this artist has a sultry, unforced contralto voice and elegant piano playing...
Uh-oh.
Who do you think it could be?
Diana Krall.
It is Diana Krall. Diana Jean Krall.
From Nanaimo.
Order of Canada, Order of BC.
Order of Nanaimo.
Possibly.
Nanaimo bars.
She might own the keys to the city. Who
yeah.
knows
okay.
if they do that in Nanaimo? Making her a Canadian jazz pianist and singer known for her alto vocals. She has sold more than 15 million albums worldwide, and in 2009, Billboard magazine named her the second greatest jazz artist of the decade. That's 2000 to 2009, making her one of the best-selling artists of her time. And that was way back in 2009.
Always like you, Diana.
She's the only jazz singer to have had 8 albums debut at the top of the Billboard Jazz Album chart. So far, she has won 2 Grammy Awards and 8 Juno Awards, and also earned 9 gold, 3 platinum, and 7 multi-platinum albums. So... Diana Krall was born on this day, November 16th, 1964, in, as you said, Nanaimo, B.C.
Home of the Nanaimo Bar.
Sure, maybe. The daughter of an elementary school teacher and an accountant, her sister and only sibling is a former member of the RCMP, Ron, so watch it. Krall's father played piano at home, and her mother sang in a community choir, and she began studying piano herself at the age of 4 and took exams through the Royal Conservatory of Music, where a lot of kids got their start, especially with piano.
How many levels do you have?
Well, 2.
2, okay.
I could have done better, but I was not a good student in anything. Even things I did well in, I was not a good student. In high school, she was a member of a student jazz group, and at 15, she began playing professionally in local restaurants. She won a scholarship to attend the Berklee College of Music in Boston, where she studied from 1981 to 83, so she's still a teenager at that point. And then she went to L.A. to play jazz. She returned to Canada to record her first album in 1992. She met veteran bassist Ray Brown in the early 1980s, and he was so impressed by her piano playing, he introduced her to other musicians and was an important mentor. She recorded her first album, Stepping Out, for Just in Time Records in 1992, and the album was released then in the next year. In August 2000, she partnered with Tony Bennett for a 20-city tour, and in 2008-09, they worked together again for a song on the TV series Spectacle, Elvis Costello with. I used to watch that program from time to time. It was really good. I believe it was on CTV. But speaking of Elvis, Diana Krall and British musician Elvis Costello
boom, boom.
Were married on December 6th, 2003 at Elton John's estate, as you do,
ooh,
outside
la.
London. Their twin sons, Dexter Henry Lorcan.
Oh, you give out.
And Frank Harlan James. Sounds
heavy,
Frank
heavy weights
James,
to carry those boys.
Were born exactly 3 years later on December 6th, 2006, in New York City. So, should we listen to a little bit of Diana Krall?
Right,
we looked
are.
For her and Ray Brown together, but didn't have anything.
From the CD Stepping Out, this is, well,
her first album.
This turned out to be wrong. This can't be love.
can't be love, beggars, I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. This can't be love, I get no dizzy spells. My head is not in the skies. My heart does not stand still, just hear it beat. This is too sweet to greet love. This can't be love, because I feel so well. Yet I long to look into your eyes.
Stepping out. This can't be love. Now, as promised, a little teaser for you. We mentioned Christmas Carol. There are all kinds of ways of doing Christmas Carol. This is how Richard Hurst used to do it when he was reading at Dalrymple Museum.
Dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. Scrooge never painted out old Marley's name. There it stood, years afterward, above the warehouse door. Scrooge and Marley. Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A wheezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. The cold within him froze his old features, nipped his pointed nose, shriveled his cheek, stiffened his gait, made his eyes red, his thin lips blue, and spoke out shrewdly in his grating voice. Once upon a time, of all good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, old Scrooge sat busy in his counting house. It was cold, bleak, biting weather, foggy withal, and he could see the people in the court outside go wheezing up and down, beating their hands upon their breasts and stamping their feet upon the pavement stones to warm them. The city clocks had only just gone three, but it was quite dark already. It had not been light all day. The door to Scrooge's counting house was open, that he might keep his eye upon his clerk, who, in a dismal little cell beyond, was copying letters. Scrooge had a very small fire. But the clerk's fire was so very much smaller that it looked like one coal. But he couldn't replenish it, for Scrooge kept the coal box in his own room. And so, surely as the clerk came in with his shovel, the master predicted that it would be necessary for them to part company.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle! God save you!
It was the voice of Scrooge's nephew, who came upon him so quickly that this was the first intimation that he had of his approach.
Bah! Humbug!
He had so heated himself with rapid walking in the fog and frost, this nephew of Scrooge's, that he was all in a glow. His face was ruddy and handsome, his eyes sparkled, and his breath smoked again.
"Christmas a humbug, Uncle. You don't mean that, I'm sure." "I do," said Scrooge. "Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough."
"Come then, Uncle. What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough."
"Bah, humbug."
"Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? What's Christmas to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes around with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stick of holly through his heart. Uncle, nephew, keep Christmas in your own way and let me keep it in mine."
"Keep it? But you don't keep it."
"Let me leave it alone, then. Much good it may do you. Much good it has ever done you."
"There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say, Christmas among the rest. But I have always thought of Christmas as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. And I say God bless it." The clerk in his tank involuntarily applauded. Becoming immediately sensible of the impropriety, he poked the fire and extinguished the last frail spark forever.
"Let me hear another sound from you, Cratchit, and you'll keep Christmas by losing your situation. And as for you, nephew, you're quite a powerful speaker, sir. I wonder you don't go into Parliament."
"Don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow."
"Why did you get married?"
"Because I fell in love."
"Because you fell in love,"
growled Scrooge, as if it were the only thing more ridiculous than a Merry Christmas.
"Good afternoon."
"But, Uncle, you never came to see me before that happened. Why give it as a reason for not coming now?"
"Good afternoon."
"I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?"
"Good afternoon."
"I'm sorry to find you so resolute. I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. And so, a Merry Christmas, Uncle."
"Good afternoon."
"And a Happy New Year."
"Good afternoon."
His nephew stopped at the outer door to bestow the greetings of the season upon the clerk, who, cold as he was warmer than Scrooge, for he returned them cordially. In letting Scrooge's nephew out, he had let two other people in. They were portly gentlemen, pleasant to behold, and now stood with their hats off in Scrooge's office.
"Scrooge and Marley's, I believe," said one, referring to his list. "Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?"
"Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night."
"We have no doubt that his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner."
Scrooge frowned and shook his head.
"At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time."
"Are there no prisons?"
"Plenty of prisons."
"And the workhouses, are they still in operation?"
"They are. Still, I wish I could say they were not."
"Oh, I was afraid from what you said that something had stopped them in their useful course. I'm very glad to hear it."
"We chose this time of year, sir, because it is a time of all others when want is keenly felt and abundance rejoices. What shall I put you down for?"
"Nothing."
"You wish to be anonymous?"
"I wish to be left alone. Since you ask me what I wish, gentlemen, that is the answer. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost me enough, and those who are badly off must go there."
Many can't go there, sir. Many would rather die."
"If they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon, gentlemen."
"I'm very sorry, gentlemen. Please accept this small donation. Very kind of you. Good day."
At length, the hour of shutting up the counting house arrived. With an ill will, Scrooge dismounted from his stool and tacitly admitted the fact to the expectant clerk, who instantly snuffed out his candle and put on his hat.
You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
If quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair. If I was to stop you half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound.
The clerk smiled faintly.
And yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
It's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier next morning.
The clerk promised that he would, and Scrooge walked out with a growl. The office was closed in a twinkling, and the clerk, with the long ends of his white comforter dangling below his waist, for he boasted no greatcoat, went